Good morning, everybody. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Today is Friday, February the 16th. Where I'm from, we refer to it as Fish Fry Friday, where Shelly the Playboy will come on the radio and talk about that eagle. He would say the eagle represents the dollar bill. In other words, payday. You know, it's just good to be alive. It really is. And what a joy it is to share this sacred space with you all. I think I said it yesterday, but I'll say it again. Some things won't move in your life until you pray. And I believe what God has called us to in this season is too big for us not to pray. It happens after prayer. Greater levels require deeper intimacy with God. But why should I pray? Prayer works. More accurately, God works when we pray. When we work, we work. But when we pray, God works. Prayer is not a passive act. It's a powerful invitation for God to move in our lives and in the world around us. You see, when we work, we put forth our own human effort. Our accomplishments stem from our skills and sweat and determination. While good work is important and fulfilling, there's a limit to what we can achieve independently. Prayer operates on a whole other level. It unlocks divine power. That when we pray, we acknowledge our limits while trusting in a God who has no limits. We align our hearts with His and humbly ask God to intervene. What are some areas in your life you need God to intervene in? Maybe in your relationships. Do you face challenging dynamics in your family, friendships, or the workplace? What about physical healing? Do you or your loved ones battle illness or chronic pain? Have you experienced trauma, hurt, or deep disappointment? Maybe someone is on the line and you need God to intervene in the area of spiritual restoration. Do you feel distant from God, struggling with doubt, or feeling apathetic in your faith? Some of you on the call are silently saying, in the words of Fannie Lou Hamer, I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired. What does it mean to be sick and tired of being sick and tired? It means you have reached a breaking point. It's a moment where chronic hardship, whether it's emotional, physical, situational, or spiritual, feels absolutely unbearable. It marks the end of tolerance. It's the kind of exhaustion that sleep can't even cure. Have you ever been so tired that sleep couldn't even cure your exhaustion? That's when the mental and emotional fatigue weighs so heavy that you ain't got time nor patience. It's when you are in a season of longing for change. It encapsulates a deep desire for things to be different and unwillingness to settle for the same frustrating conditions any longer. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever been sick and tired of being sick and tired? Frustrated, feeling stuck, unable to escape the thing that's dragging you down. And you are crying out 2 months into a new year, something's got to change. It's a fundamental point of no return. There's a finality to it, to that declaration, that makes it impossible to keep tolerating the same patterns of pain. Something got to change. Internal changes. I'm going to just call it out this morning. But something got to change. Those self-sabotaging habits. You know what I'm talking about. Procrastination, people-pleasing, destructive coping mechanisms, or the tendency to dwell in negativity. And the turning point occurs when the pain of staying the same feels bigger than the effort required to make personal changes, internal changes, limiting beliefs. That's an internal change. Those deep-seated ideas about ourselves, I'm not good enough. I don't deserve success. All of that can hold us back immensely. Realizing this can be the first step towards a new self-understanding, limiting beliefs, those self-sabotaging habits, even codependency or unhealthy attachments, internal changes. Again, you know what I'm talking about. When we start prioritizing those who drain or undervalue us, reaching a breaking point is essential. Recognizing our own worth can push us to establish healthier dynamics. Internal changes, spiritual dryness, that's an internal change. Not just feeling down, but realizing we've stopped cultivating the relationship with God that once brought us so much life. These are internal changes. What about the external changes? Toxic relationships. These involve a significant power imbalance, manipulation, or harm. Ending harmful connections can be terrifying, but absolutely necessary. That turning point may come after exhausting our efforts to resolve things. External changes. Unfulfilling work, jobs that offer no sense of purpose, chronically disrespectful workplace situations or career paths that clash with core values, all can be a source of intense unhappiness. And finding new ways to use your talents can spark a radical transformation. Now, I'm not telling you to quit your job, but I am saying if God has planted you in an unfavorable situation from your perspective, you got to learn how to lean into God's power and declare, I'm going to bloom where I've been planted. That until God transplant me and then plant me in another field, I'm going to release my fragrance where I'm at and bloom anyhow. External changes, stagnant living conditions. This may not be a major upheaval. It could be decluttering to gain mental space, finding healthier living arrangements, or addressing factors in your home environment that deplete your energy. Whether you need some internal changes or external changes, you need to start by asking yourself, are you reaching your turning point? Sometimes the frustration and exhaustion we feel aren't signs of weakness. They're signs we're ready for radical change. And we need to start today by debunking these false ideas, because we often link struggle with failure. Society values constant performance and resilience without rest. Frustration or needing a break can be mislabeled as personal weakness. Therefore, we are encouraged to have a should mentality. Internal voices whisper that we should always cope. We should always answer the phone. We should always pour out even when we ain't being poured into. We should always be strong. You should push through. But all of that shoulding is killing you. It's weighing you down. And to be honest, it's dehumanizing. Because should statements assume a limitless capacity for pushing through absolutely any situation without breaking, it makes us feel flawed, watch this, for being normal. I don't want to be the strong one all the time, the one that got to buy it and cook it and clean it and help it direct it, pray for it, pay for it, teach it, hold it, mold it, and store it. And some of you have convinced yourselves that you can handle it, but it's weighing you down. Because this should mentality has no room for grace. This mindset breeds harsh judgment toward ourselves and others. There's no space for understanding, rest, or acknowledging when we genuinely need help or change. And I think this is a word for somebody this morning, and this is not even the lesson I was supposed to be going into, but I think this is a word for somebody that if you are going to make it in this season, you're going to have to reclaim your humanity. You're going to have to remind yourself that your value isn't measured by constant accomplishment, that it's okay to need rest. It's okay to need support. It's okay to say, hey, I need some joy too. Reclaim your humanity. Reclaim your humanity by declaring, I'm worthwhile because I exist. Now, this sounds deceptively simple, but it combats the deep-seated lie that we have to justify ourselves by performance. No, I'm worthwhile not because of what I do, but simply because I'm here. It should have taken me out, but I'm still here. It should have taken my mind, but I still got it. It should have killed me, but I'm still standing. And because I'm here, I'm worthwhile just because I exist. I want to ask you some questions this morning. On a scale, let's say, of 1 to 10, how cluttered does your mind feel on an average day? When was the last time you felt a deep sense of inner peace? That regardless of what was going on around you, you had inner peace. And what made that possible? Let me ask you a question. Are there any habits or recurring thoughts that drain your energy? Do you struggle with comparing yourself negatively to others, leaving you feeling less than? Is there any unresolved hurt, bitterness, or anger lingering in your heart? Does it subtly impact your actions or relationships today? Have you drifted away from your values or beliefs? Are there areas where you feel unaligned with who you want to be? If you could remove one heavy weight from your mind and heart, what would it be? What's one thing you miss about an earlier version of yourself? Perhaps one who felt more carefree and spiritually connected or motivated, less anxious. Have you ever considered the benefits of letting go of things that subtly pollute your well-being and joy? I was supposed to start it this morning, but starting Monday, I want to take you on a soul detox. Because if those questions resonated with you or even made you slightly uncomfortable, there's a reason. Just like our bodies naturally accumulate toxins that require cleansing, so does our inner world. We call this a soul detox. A soul detox ain't just self-improvement. It's about purifying our internal well-being, right? Addressing things like hidden bitterness, unhealthy dependencies, spiritual clutter. The results are transformative: joy, deeper connection to your faith, a renewed sense of who you were created to be. But let me warn you, this is not a quick fix. This isn't about fad diets for the soul. True detox involves intentional practices, honest self-reflection, and possibly deep inner healing. regardless of where you are in your walk with God, all of us at some point in time need a soul detox. Wherever you are, just take a deep breath. And I want to welcome you to the first day of the rest of your life. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. All we got is right now. Thank you for joining our devotional prayer call. If you're new to Grace, my name is Marcus D. Collins, and I have the privilege to lead an amazing group of people at Grace Community Church. And how delighted I am to have you share in this space with us this morning. So on Monday, we're going to learn how to detox our soul. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. You know, Father, I woke up ready to talk about one thing, but Holy Spirit wanted me to talk about this thing. Because you already knew that someone would be listening who is on the verge of giving up. They can't envision life beyond the right now. Bills are high, money is low, enemies are numerous, friends are few, and they needed to be reminded that there is more. That the heartbreak did not break them, that the disappointment did not destroy them, that despite what has happened in their past did not cancel out your best for their life, that there is still more. So, Father, we come before you this morning humbled but ready to battle for our peace, battle for our wholeness and our true purpose, because too often we've let the world's poison seep into our minds and hearts, clouding our joy and our connection with you. Lord, expose even now the toxins in our spirits. Bring to light any bitterness, unforgiveness, fear, or comparison that we have been harboring. We now choose to lay these burdens at your feet. We accept your cleansing forgiveness, and we release those who have wronged us. Help us to detox our inner world. Show us where we've unknowingly absorbed negativity, unhealthy dependencies, and lies about ourselves. Yes, Lord, we surrender those things to be destroyed by your purifying fire. So, Holy Spirit, fill the spaces that we're clearing out. May your truth and peace and love take root deep within us. Fortify our minds against toxic thoughts. Protect our boundaries from negative influences. Give us wisdom to discern what nourishes our souls and the courage to let go all the other stuff. Lord, we put on the armor of God and declare that no spiritual attack can take hold when we dwell in your presence. So help us to live from a place of spiritual renewal, ready to fight for what really matters. By your power, may we walk forward, transformed, cleansed, courageous, and ready to be used by you in this world. And now, Lord, protect us today. Guide us safely to our destinations. Be our protector and don't let any hurt, harm, or danger befall us this day. And Father, I speak blessings upon every person connected on this call. Allow them to walk in victory today, knowing that it is well because Jesus is alive. It's in that name we pray. Wherever you are, just say amen. And listen, thank you for joining the call this morning. Be in prayer this weekend for the McCall family, for Sister McCall. As many of you know, Brother McCall, Johnny McCall passed on the other week, and we'll be funeralizing him tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Brother McCall and Sister McCall were founding members of Grace as well as our oldest members. And Brother McCall went to be with the Lord the other week. So be in prayer for the McCall family tomorrow as we funeralize Brother McCall. The playback call as usual, will be uploaded to the website today at gracechurchal.com/fasting, or you can click on the 40-day fasting flyer on the website. Hey, listen, thank you so much for tuning in this morning. I am rooting for you today, and I am praying for you. Be careful and be encouraged. Peace.